All right, 1 hour in the books, 1 hour to go. Just a quick reminder, Brad Turner coming up at 8:30 from the LA Times. Okay, let's look at some of these top NBA stories. So this has been something obviously we've been tracking, and there's a lot of curiosity how this season's going to play out. COVID-19 certainly having its effects on the NBA season, and I know that is nothing, and it's the effects worldwide much more important than sports, but I'm just referencing to the sports side. So this is where we are with the NBA. So latest on the NBA games affected by COVID-19. 15 total postponements, 14 over the about last 10 days or so. So you've had 15 games postponed so far since this season has started, but 14 coming in the last 10 days. So that's significant, right? And every time I kind of do an update on one of these, that number is obviously only going up, and it's gone up significantly over the last week. I don't know what else the NBA can do, to be honest with you. I really don't. I don't have the game plan here of saying, well, they should go back to a bubble, or they should. By the way, I don't think they're going to be going to a bubble by any stretch of the imagination. One thing I thought was interesting. So there's a story Brian Windhorst put out, good friend of the show. Adam Silver says NBA is discussing COVID-19 vaccination of players as a PSA. So Adam Silver said, this is on one of those virtual conferences, there have been discussions. It's something we're particularly focused on. I guess the idea here is, let me read this off of what Adam Silver said to kind of better explain it. In the African American community, there's been enormously impact from COVID, but now somewhat perilously, there's been enormous resistance to vaccinations in the African American community from understandable historical reasons. If that resistance continues, it would be very much a double whammy to the black community, because the only way out of this pandemic is to get vaccinated. So the thought process and the idea here is, if you see other NBA players getting the vaccination, it may motivate you to do it as well. There's also a story last week, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar received his first dose of the vaccine. So I guess they're trying to get some athletes to be kind of the face of this. Silver also said that there's no way we'd ever jump the line in any form whatsoever. And he emphasized that the NBA would not attempt to get the vaccine for players without the support of public health officials. And then, like I mentioned, 15 games postponed, including 14 since January 10th. So the story will continue on COVID-19. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to be sitting here 3 months from now and the world's going to look a lot different. Hopefully that's the case. I was reading something from Adam Silver. Adam Silver had said public health officials mentioned that January would probably be the worst month. So hopefully that's the case, and we could eventually move on. Wizards, by the way, the Washington Wizards, fifth straight game postponed. So their January 20th game is postponed. They haven't played since January 11th. Their next game is scheduled on Friday, January 22nd, versus the Bucks. After the Lakers face the Bucks the next day, the Wizards would. So that just shows you how one team can be affected, and knock on wood, the Lakers, so far this year have not, you know, really dealt with much of it. I know Alex Caruso had health and safety protocols. We'll see how things progress. Okay. Kyrie Irving finally spoke to the media. I want to play this because there's been all the chatter about Kyrie Irving. Where's Kyrie Irving been? Why has he been gone? What's his excuse to leave his team? Does he have personal reasons? Does he have mental reasons that, you know, he just needs a break or whatever the case is? This is directly from Kyrie Irving, who finally got a chance to talk to the media. Steve, if you can play that.
Very excited, you know, just to have James here. Obviously, letting go of some of the pieces that have been here in the Nets organization for a while, even before I got here. You know, it's going to be hard regardless. It's just the nature of the business. We're all brothers still, you know. So we're just moving on into the next phase of just developing as a team and just building some camaraderie and having fun.
Can you shed some light on what the last couple of weeks have been like for you and the time you needed off?
There's a lot of family and personal stuff going on, so just want to leave it at that.
For the Net fan out there who, you know, was living and dying with you guys, and wasn't sure why you were not playing and was frustrated by that. You know, would you have any explanation to that, those fans, that fan?
Well, the beautiful thing about that is that I started off as a fanatic and I started off as a fan. I've been invested in this organization since I was a kid, you know, and also now that I'm in this role as a player, there is quite a difference. And, you know, the fans out there, want to apologize to them as well. You know, my commitment has always been to bringing something special to Brooklyn. You know, it wasn't just a championship. It was unity, it was equality. It was just bigger things than just the game itself. You know, I'm back. I'm happy to be back. And we got some great pieces and we just move on. And I let my actions and my game speak for itself like I planned on doing, you know, just needed a pause.
All right, that's Kyrie Irving right there. So we finally got a chance to listen to him. I want to play that out in full just so we could get a few of his answers. Yeah, this is kind of a – this one's a weird situation because I mentioned this to Michael yesterday. I told Michael, I said, listen, because we don't have that much information on why Kyrie's been gone, I was waiting to – you know, listen, does part of me feel, hey, Kyrie, what are you doing? This is your occupation. You're getting paid millions of dollars. Get your you-know-what back to work. You got a lot of – you got your teammates that are depending on you. You got a fan base that depends on you. This is your profession. Respect your profession. But the reason why I kind of waited on that is I want to see, okay, well, why is this guy gone? And I thought his explanation today, okay, maybe he doesn't tell the whole story. He doesn't want to get into the details or anything else. The one thing I just never understood through this whole process, and there was a time in the beginning where he didn't explain anything to Brooklyn, didn't explain anything to the organization of why he was gone or whatever the case is. So I say all that because at least explain what the situation is. At least kind of give a little bit of information because you are a high-profile athlete, and people are going to ask the question. And it's not common that somebody leaves right in the middle of the season. And you're not a small name in a small market. You're Kyrie Irving. Everybody knows who Kyrie Irving is. You play for the Brooklyn Nets. This was a offseason where, you know, everybody expected that they want to see KD and Kyrie Irving together. What's that going to look like? And then all the chatter about James Harden. So I think there's been a lot of that, you know, obviously this season. So getting Kyrie Irving to actually finally start talking, and I don't need to get into how and why I think that's going to work in Brooklyn, even though it is a mixed bag because you don't know how a guy like Kyrie will react throughout the season. But we finally get a chance to hear from Kyrie. By the way, SportsCenter put this out. I think this is important to read because Kyrie's got a lot of criticism over the last couple of weeks. A few of Kyrie's contributions over the last year. So pay attention to this, okay? The man makes a lot of money, but you can see some of the different places he's put his money over this short period of time. Donated $323,000 to Feeding America. Partnered with City Harvest to ensure that 250,000 meals were distributed to New Yorkers. Partnered with Nike to donate 17 pallets of food and masks to the Standing Rock Rock Tribe. Committed $1.5 million to help pay WNBA players who opted out of the 2020 season. Read that one again. Committed $1.5 million to help pay WNBA players who opted out of the 2020 NBA season and WNBA season. That could have been for COVID concerns or they just didn't get back into the bubble. Paid off the college tuition of 9 HBCU students from Lincoln University and then purchased a house for the family of George Floyd, according to a former NBA player, Steven Jackson. So Kyrie's done some pretty damn beautiful things outside of the court. And as much as this guy's got criticism, and I've even been one to criticize, part of my criticism is, well, you can't just leave your squad and not tell anybody. I can't leave my job and not reach out to any of my bosses and employees and just say, hey, guys, I'm going to be out. I need some time to myself. But it was good to finally hear from Kyrie Irving. Okay, one more top NBA story that I want to get into. The odds are out. The Nets are the new favorites in the Eastern Conference after that Harden deal. So the Nets title odds improved from 12-1 to 7-2 last week at the Superbook. Jeff Sherman, who oversees the Superbook's NBA odds. The Lakers have the highest odds to win an NBA title. And the Brooklyn Nets are now second. The Milwaukee Bucks are third at 8-1, followed by the Boston Celtics. By the way, the Eastern Conference, it goes the Brooklyn Nets, the Bucks, Boston Celtics, Miami, and Philadelphia 76ers are at 20-1. All right, when we come back, Lakers taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. I might need somebody to kind of help me understand this one. I'm not trying to discredit Giannis Antetokounmpo, but I think there's something I'm missing with Giannis. Give you an example. Anthony Davis or Giannis Antetokounmpo, if you're starting a franchise, would you rather have Giannis or would you rather have AD? This one, I don't even really feel like I hesitate with this. And again, a lot of this has to do with the Lakers are about to play the Bucks this upcoming Thursday. Giannis is a two-time MVP. I want to talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo, his impact in the NBA, and you know, obviously against the other Lakers big man. So we'll do that coming up next. Plus, I got some good sound. Yesterday, Brooklyn played the Milwaukee Bucks, and we got some sound of Giannis and specifically why Giannis does not come through towards late-game situations. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk, 877-710-ESPN, if you want to be a part of the show. Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I think I'm missing something on the Giannis Antetokounmpo train. Solid player. You know, obviously affects both sides of the floor. Has put up some incredible, incredible stats over the last couple of years. Two-time MVP, reigning MVP. Even though I 100% don't believe he's the most valuable player in the NBA, I just don't. I really, really don't. So it's a tough one for me. Maybe this is similar to when, you know, Shaq should have been winning it every single year, or it's similar to when Michael Jordan should have been winning it every year, and those types of players were not, just because they were sharing that trophy, if you want to put it that way. But I don't think I have fully appreciated Giannis Antetokounmpo's game the way others do. And what I'm referring to on this one is, yes, part of it has to do with you see what he does in the regular season, and then in the playoffs, his game doesn't go to another level. You know, ESPN did this. They did this ranking. I think they do it every single year. It's an annual ranking that they do, and the ranking basically was describing the top three players, or I think it was the top 10 players in the NBA. And this season, when they did the ranking, it's kind of interesting. Because if you looked at the top five players coming into the season as they ranked them, they had at number five, I'll read this off to you. Number five, they had Kawhi. Okay. Number four, they had Luka Doncic. Number three, they had Giannis. Number two, they had Anthony Davis. Number one, they had LeBron James. When I originally saw it, it was a little bit of a surprise. Not because I don't think not because I think that ranking is off. It's because typically they don't put AD that high, and they always have Giannis. I mean, it seems like the last couple of years, Giannis is sitting at the top of that slot, and every time I see him at the top of the slot, I'm like, how is this dude, how do they have him as the most valuable player? Let me play something real quick. So yesterday, the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks played each other. Take a listen to this. This is from Jay Williams. Jay Williams joined the Greenberg Show, Mike Greenberg. And they were talking about that game, and they were talking specifically about Giannis.
Where is Giannis? That was the question I had. I don't care about what the Bucks do in a regular season anymore. They've won two regular seasons with the best record in the league 2 years in a row, okay? What I care about is Giannis, the reigning defensive player of the year. How come he wasn't guarding Kevin Durant down the stretch last night? That's a matchup everybody wanted to see. Everybody's been talking trash this entire offseason about the fact that Giannis doesn't guard the primary scorer's responsibility. That's not his. People have been calling him out. And then also down the stretch, I'm tired of Giannis being a nice guy. We watched the metamorphosis for people like Kevin Durant becoming the villain, guys like LeBron James becoming the villain, demanding the ball at the end-of-game scenario. The fact that Coach Bud drew that play up for Chris Middleton lets you know about a guy who is the highest-paid player in North American sports, $45 million a year. It's time for Giannis to be that person that says, No, Coach Bud, give me the damn ball, and it's time for me to close this game out the way I know I can close it out. That's what I was waiting for last night when watching that Nets-Bucks game.
Well, the reason why, Jay Williams, that didn't happen is because Giannis is not that guy. He's not that guy. His skill set is not that guy. One of the things that makes KD so special is KD can pull up. I mean, KD is just a freak of nature, right? KD can pull up. He can hit a 15-footer. He can post you up and hit an 18-foot fadeaway. He can pull up from 23, 24 feet out. There's no stopping Kevin Durant. Giannis, you can stop him. Giannis, you can stop him. Defenses, when we get into the playoffs, and whatever happens on Thursday between the Lakers and the Bucks, and if you guys remember that game last year, Lakers traveled to Milwaukee. They lost that game. They lost the game in Milwaukee, but then they beat the Bucks here at Staples Center. They beat the Clippers and the Bucks here at Staples Center. It was two of the last three games that the Lakers played before COVID eventually shut down the season for 4 months or whatever the case was. But Giannis Antetokounmpo's game in the postseason, you can stop him. And if you stop the best player, on a squad or the MVP of the Milwaukee Bucks, how are they going to get past or how are they going to get to the NBA Finals? They haven't figured that out yet. So I always hesitate on Giannis. I'm always confused of how people put him so high on these lists or give him MVP awards when his holes, I mean, he's more, in my opinion, he's more of an athlete than a basketball player. Not trying to just take left and uppercuts and shots all over Giannis, but that's the reality. Anthony Davis is a basketball player first, and then that athleticism that he has complements his game rather than the opposite way of the way I think Giannis plays. Now, listen, there's no saying Anthony Davis on his own because he was on his own in New Orleans, and it's not like he was taking his squad to the NBA Finals or anything like that. Granted, it was the Western Conference, and I do think, you know, over the years it's been much, much tougher Western Conference than the East has been, even though the East is getting better. But I look at those two players, and I can't wait to watch that matchup, Giannis versus Anthony Davis. I take AD over Giannis anytime. Anytime. I mean, if you ask me right now, do you want Giannis on this team or Anthony Davis? I take Anthony Davis 10 times out of 10. He's a more complete basketball player. When Michael would say during the pregame show, he'd talk about how he's the best two-way player in the league. And every time I heard that, it didn't really kind of click with me. I'm like, best two-way player? No. Isn't that supposed to be wing players? Isn't that supposed to be the KDs, the LeBrons, the Kawhi Leonards? I mean, no, those are the best two-way players. But he's right. If you're putting up 27 points a game and you got 10-plus rebounds a night and you got two block shots a game or whatever the case he does on a night-in-night-out basis, yeah, he's the best two-way player in the game. All right, so Lakers taking on the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow. I want to hit on something real quick because one thing that I'm sure I don't know how much everybody is paying attention to this. But the NBA standings right now, kind of interesting. Kind of interesting to see who's right behind the Lakers. So I'll pull this up here real quick just to make sure that I got it most up to date here. So right behind the Lakers, Lakers are 11-4. It's the Los Angeles Clippers, 10-4. So as much as we've talked about not really paying that much attention to the Clippers. The Clippers are struggling, whatever the case is. They don't have the chemistry. Clippers are right there. I think the Clippers, who, by the way, have won four games in a row, and Utah won tonight, so they're 10-4. So they're two teams right on the heels against the Lakers. They've won six games in a row. But the Clippers, I'm going to stay with for a quick second. Clippers, as much as people are not talking about them, I think that probably benefits the Clippers. I think also, too, you know, Mark Spears had a good point about Chauncey Billups being a part of that organization now, one of the assistant coaches. Clippers are quietly having a really good season. The problem is every time they'll have a couple impressive wins, then they'll do something where it just kind of throws you off and says, oh, is it the Clippers again? They blow a 20-point lead to the Warriors, or they lose by 50 to the Dallas Mavericks like they did in that one game here at Staples Center. But I still think that that's going to be the stiffest competition for the Lakers, at least in the Western Conference. All right, Pedro in Inglewood. Pedro, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, bud. You're on Lakers Talk.
Hey, what's up, Alan? Just got on the radio right now and heard you talking some slander about Giannis. I mean, I kind of went after him a little bit. Yeah, hey, it got me a little, my blood boiling a little bit. Not that I'm a Giannis guy like that, but, like, you can't just say that he's just a super athletic guy and then a basketball player. Like, there's been guys in history of the NBA that are super freak athletes, but they just can't put it together because they don't have the basketball IQ or the wherewithal to just, like, know how to play the game. They just relied on their athleticism to get them to the NBA, but then they become busts. Whereas Giannis, that's what got him noticed, his athleticism, but then he developed into one of the greatest players in the league right now. And I know you'll take Anthony Davis 10 out of 10 times, and honestly, I probably would, because the only thing that Anthony Davis has over Giannis is his shooting touch. If Giannis...
But that's a big... But Pedro, that's a big part of the game. You know what I mean? And I know what you're saying, and it probably sounds like I'm being too critical on Giannis, and I probably am, but the reality is that's a incredible part of the game where he's still so raw offensively. Listen, at some point, there were players that came into the league. I'm gonna throw a couple examples out there. So Charles Barkley, when he came into the league, it was more of a power game. Karl Malone came into the league. He wasn't hitting 17, 18-footers the way he was further in his career. What I'm saying is if Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be the most valuable player in the league, how do you not have at this stage, and maybe it will come in a year, 2 years, whatever the case is, got to have some kind of an offensive skill set. I mean, teams literally scheme against him to just allow him to shoot anywhere from the basket in the postseason, and that's a big reason why they lost. So that's my point on Giannis.
No, I get all that. It's a valid point, Alan. But what you said was that he's more of an athlete than a basketball player, and I just think that's wrong. He's a complete basketball player except for that stuff. And I know you're saying, like, how can he be the most valuable player with such a glaring weakness? Mm-hmm. Well, the most valuable player sometimes doesn't go to the best player. It goes to the guy on the best team, and he's the most important. If you took Giannis off the Bucks, they would be nothing. If you took Anthony Davis off the Lakers still have LeBron. They could still win. LeBron is that good.
I don't think, Pedro, and I appreciate you calling in, all right? We're coming up to a commercial break here. I didn't think Anthony Davis – I'm not making an argument that AD should be the MVP, because the MVP is – it's still LeBron James. He's still the most valuable player in the world. And if you take LeBron James off the Lakers and you keep AD on there, yeah, I don't know what this Lakers team is going to do. I mean, that's how good LeBron James is. Yeah, maybe I'm a little too aggressive on Giannis, but that's genuinely how I feel. I see this player – by the way, there are players out there – let me use Dwight Howard as an example. Okay, Dwight Howard is a Hall of Famer. Dwight Howard has had an unbelievable career in the NBA. He was athlete first, basketball player second. He was. All I'm referring to when I say that is what kind of – it's very rare to have that combination. LeBron is a combination of both. LeBron is a freak athlete, high IQ basketball player that will go down as, you know, one of the greatest of all times. Kobe was like that. Magic was like that. There's very few that have. Michael Jordan was like that. Very few that have that combination of both. AD, you could say, is like that. But Giannis has glaring weaknesses, and those weaknesses I'm talking about are on the offensive side, and it could be the difference of them again making it or not making it to the finals. All right, we got to get out of here. Got Brad Turner coming up. I'll get Brad Turner on this conversation. We'll see what he thinks on that conversation. Lakers taking on the Bucks this Thursday, so we'll get firsthand a chance to see Giannis. Now, if Giannis goes off for 30 and shoots 60% from the field and starts hitting a 15-foot jumper on Thursday against the Lakers, then we'll erase the tape, Steve. Just take this all off the radio. All right, Brad Turner coming up from the LA Times. Stay right here. Lakers talk on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, we appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Want to welcome in Brad Turner from the LA Times. All right, BT, let me just get right into the topic I was just hitting on. I'll get your opinion on this. You agree or disagree with this? Lakers, Bucks on Thursday. Giannis Antetokounmpo, a two-time MVP. Do you agree that his game still has? I know he's won MVP, but he still's got so much to evolve from on the offensive side. If the Bucks are going to make real noise in the playoffs, they've got to the postseason. They've had the best record in the regular season, but I still think that he's got incredible holes in his game that hinder the team. And I don't want to put it all on his shoulders, but I do feel like they'll go as far as he goes.
I agree with that. I mean, just watching the game last night between Brooklyn and Milwaukee, I want to say in the last 5 minutes of the game, mm-hmm. so at least the last 3 minutes for sure, the Bucks were not running the offense through Giannis. It was being run through Chris Middleton and through Drew Holiday. Giannis was just almost a secondary guy when, in fact, he's supposed to be their number one guy. As one GM explained to me today, it's because Giannis's free throw shooting has become so poor that they obviously didn't feel comfortable giving him the ball in late-game situations. They didn't want a lot of pick and rolls with him. They then have him just take the ball down in the middle of the court because defenses are now playing it differently. His biggest issue to me is just that he can't shoot the basketball very well at all, which then translates to him being such a poor free throw shooter that you have to would assume that his confidence is really starting to wane, and that's why doing a very close, tense game against one of the best teams in the NBA in Brooklyn, he was not given the ball. So once he starts to get that confidence back, which seems was lacking some last night, and he just got to improve the shot, he's got to take that next step, and he hasn't done that.
So, BT, by the way, I don't blame Milwaukee for saying, first of all, Chris Middleton's a nice player. Drew Holiday's another guy that can get you a bucket. I don't blame them for going through those two guys because they are more offensively skilled, but I was just on the phone with a caller, and look, I don't want to make it sound like I'm just going after Giannis, but this is the part that I don't understand is, how is that your most valuable player in the league, and he's not somebody that you could depend on in late-game situations? Obviously, offensively, he's got a lot of holes. I just compare him to LeBron, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like, how is it possible that is more valuable than what LeBron James is? I know we could sit here all day long. I know those individual trophies are not the end of the world, but I have a difficult time comprehending that.
Well, look, he was the best player, in my opinion, during the regular season in the league. He was on the best team record-wise. Mm-hmm. So based on that, the voting and the guys who were behind the voting, they decided that he was MVP. I can't knock him and say he wasn't the MVP. If I would have had a vote, I'm pretty sure I would have voted for LeBron James. But I also cover LeBron James, and I see him play every single time out.
Absolutely.
I see Giannis play
a few times a year.
Mm-hmm. To get an idea. I see him in person twice a year, and then I see him on TV quite a bit. So I understand. I mean, I won't knock him and say that he wasn't the MVP. I mean, I think LeBron should have won the award. That win the award, but he won just being LeBron James, mm-hmm. the one that mattered the most. MVP in the finals because his team won the NBA championship.
Brad, this seven-game road trip that the Lakers got, three of those games are against really, really good Eastern Conference teams. So the Milwaukee Bucks, the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Boston Celtics. What are you trying to get out of this seven-game road trip if you're the Lakers? I mean, if you know, you went 4-3, or if you went 3-4, if you went 5-2, it's still early in the season. Lakers are coming off an NBA championship. They're expected to get back to the finals, and we'll see what happens from there. But because this is such a big picture season for the Lakers and it's so unique, is this a critical road trip to them? I mean, how do you think they balance the regular season and this trip specifically?
Well, let's not forget, the Lakers are also a really, 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 really good basketball team. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, I think they still have the best record in the league. And we can go back and forth and say, well, the talent hasn't been as high as what they will face when they go on this East Coast trip. But I would say that you look at what happened last night against a Golden State team that's okay, and the Lakers lost that game. So if you don't beat the teams in front of you, then you have issues. Mm-hmm. I think going on the road trip for the Lakers, we know what they do on the road. They are 7-0 on the road. They buckle down and they get it done. I think the idea that they're going to face three really good teams in Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and Boston, the big key for the Lakers is just to keep improving every single game. And if you keep improving every game, every quarter, every play, and you give yourself a chance to win. What do they want on this trip? They really would like to go 7-0. I don't know if they will. It'll be difficult because it's a long time to be out there, mm-hmm. and there's so many other factors involved in this. But the Lakers are damn good, man. And they can beat anybody in the NBA, and they're proving that. So the other teams, obviously, Milwaukee, Thursday, they're going to play their best, because the Lakers are the champs. Boston, they're going to play their best because it's Boston and the Lakers.
Sure.
And the Lakers are the champs. You know, and then all the other teams they will face, they're going to give them an effort. And they're going to play with energy. And they're going to play all out. So the idea will be for the Lakers to try and match that and then to see if their talent, especially their two stars in AD and LeBron James, if they actually end up overwhelming the talent of the other team stars.
Brad Turner from the LA Times taking some time to join Lakers Talk. BT, what have any surprises so far this year for you around the Lakers? I mean, some stuff that stands out to you. Are they playing the way you were expecting them to play coming into the season, or are there a few things that stand out to you that maybe you weren't expecting?
Now, I don't know what to expect, only because they had so many new faces. I mean, essentially, they have, let's just say, 2.5 new starters because KCP was around and he started some games. But I had watched Mark Gasol play enough, so I knew what he could bring to the table. I knew he had just high basketball IQ. But the one guy I hadn't seen much play was Dennis Schroeder. What I found out is I didn't know he was that good of a defender. And that he could pick you up and be disruptive full court. So that adds just a new dimension to the Lakers' defense. And what Dennis does that I really enjoy is that he takes his time and he gets to his spots. He's never in a rush to get there. He knows how to use his speed at the right moment. He's a little shifty out there. He can shoot the three. But his defense is just one thing that I was not expecting to see because I hadn't seen him play a lot. I covered Montrezl Harrell when he played for the Clippers, so
That's
watched
right.
him grow mm-hmm. from the time where he got traded there for Chris Paul, and I watched the work he put in after practice, after games, going over to the facility at 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, because he wasn't playing a whole lot early on, to making himself into the player we see now. So I knew what to expect from him. The other thing is Kyle Kuzma's rebounding. He's had back-to-back double-doubles, and it's because he is rebounding the basketball exceptionally well. AD and LeBron, they are doing what I thought they would do. They are being great players.
Brad Turner from the LA Times taking some time to join Lakers Talk. BT, what do you think, anything specific stands out to you of what the Lakers got to improve on as the season progresses? What are some of the weaknesses that you've seen so far?
Taking better care of the basketball. Mm-hmm. Let's just start there. That's always going to be something. Last night they had, 19 turnovers? I think LeBron James had 5, and he had 2 travels late in the game. which he disputes, of course. You know, so that would be number one, because the defense, when they want to play it, and most of the time they do want to play it, they're very good on defense. They're efficient on offense. You know, they although they had zero assists in the fourth quarter, if there's one thing, number one thing I'd like to see them improve on, if it's possible, is boredom.
By the way, BT, that's a real thing. I couldn't agree more with you.
Man, yeah. I mean, I get it. I mean, you're out there cruising along like they did last night. They got up 19 on Golden State. And I just thought.
Then they went home.
Boredom set. Yeah, it's setting in. And then they couldn't really get it back. They thought they had it back when they built, what, a 12-point lead going into the fourth quarter. And then Golden State was just kind of happy to be close, nearby. They started making some shots. Next thing you know, like, Golden State's again, we had a chance to win this game. And the Lakers, I guess, were thinking, we got this. Well, they didn't have it. Golden State got it. So boredom is a real thing that they just have to work on and try to get themselves through.
By the way, just think about that for a quick second. If your biggest issue is just making sure that, you know, Kuzma said this a couple times in the postgame show, that there was no real sense of urgency. And I'm not saying that's got to be a habit, and it shouldn't be, of course. We haven't had many games this year where you're walking away saying, you know, Lakers really screwed that one up. They screwed that one up yesterday, but I think, you know, you would agree with me that big picture, we both feel like the Lakers will be fine. I got a couple questions. I'm going to talk a little bit broader in the NBA. The moves that the Brooklyn Nets made, Milwaukee obviously got Drew Holiday in the offseason. How do these moves stack up to you? Who's the best team in the Eastern Conference, in your opinion, right now?
Man.
East got exciting.
Brooklyn's only had a two-game sample with James and Kevin Durant, and they don't have Kyrie back yet. Mm-hmm. On paper, we have to say it's Brooklyn. They obviously lack depth, but they have three of the best offensive weapons in the game.
Absolutely.
Three of them. That's a lot to deal with. Man, I like what they've been doing in Philadelphia, but Joel Embiid has been out. Now he's coming back. I kind of like the Celtics, too, and their young talent, but they've dealt with COVID protocols. They're just getting Kemba Walker back. And so there's just a lot still to be determined back there. But if you look at it, everything on paper, man, you got to say Brooklyn is that team. Miami hasn't quite lived up to the team we saw in the bubble and the team that played incredible basketball. So they've got a ways to go. And it takes a while, man. It takes
sure.
a while. They were like the Lakers. They were in that bubble for, what, 90s, almost 100 days, 95 days or so. Mm-hmm. So you got to get through that. And there's just a lot to deal with. But my biggest concern is just some of the games that are being postponed. How many more games will be postponed? How will they make these games up? Will players test positive? Will it be false positive? That's my concern, is just how do you get through this January? How do you get through February? And can they play enough games without them maybe moving the games back to the bubble, or just having to say, let's set it down for a while? So that is my main concern. Right now, that's what I wonder about. That's what I hope doesn't happen, is that they can get through this.
14 games postponed since January 10th. So just to kind of play off of what you said, 15 games postponed total this year, but 14 coming in the last 9-10 days or so. Brad Turner from the LA Times taking some time to join Lakers Talk. IBT, final one I got for you. You know, quietly here, if you look at the NBA standings, you got the Lakers sitting at 11-4. Right behind the Lakers, the Los Angeles Clippers at 10-4. By the way, Utah won today, so they're 10-4 as well. What's your read on the Clippers so far, and how much do you think that becomes a challenge for the Lakers as the season progresses? Just want to get your thoughts on how the Clippers are starting the season off.
The Clippers are a really good team, but they were also a really good team last year. The difference is, I think, Tyronn Lue, the new coach, has done a great job with them.
Mm-hmm.
He's made them more accountable. Obviously, they had that huge, gigantic beatdown at home, which is pretty unheard of. They also had a 22-point lead against Golden State. They lost that game. But, as you just said, they are right behind the Lakers. They have two of the best two-way players in the league in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And dare I say this, but I think Paul George is playing some of the best basketball of his career, and some of the best basketball in the league, because he keeps mentioning this and reminding us he has something to prove. And, you know, okay, fine, you got something to prove. Just go prove it. You don't have to keep saying it.
Right.
Play the game. Your game will speak for itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I like what they're doing. I like, you know, some of the players they have over there. I like the way Ty Lue is pushing them and how they're just, you know, playing the game the right way, and they've been smart about it. And they, again, having the two guys they have in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, they will always be in the mix.
BT, I was supposed to ask you this. Sedano mentions me. I almost forgot this. George Sedano mentioned that. So is there a workout going on there at Staples Center? That what is Dan Wolke and what was it, Bill Orem, the other one?
You know, I don't know what they call that. I don't know if they're trying out for the Olympics.
What are they doing?
Walk race or what? They at halftime, they walk around the concourse.
Okay.
It's fast walk. You know, and then they take a seat and they're huffing and puffing. I see them all the time when I take my little break to go outside.
Yep.
To see if I can find Michael Thompson, just in case he might bring a bottle of wine with him. I've been wrong every single time.
Don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up.
I don't have them up anymore. But there, they got this walk thing going on, you know. I tell them, why don't you walk during the day at home rather than using Staples Center for your walk place? Please stop it, guys.
That's great. Well, listen, we won't get a chance to see them in action for another 2 weeks. That's the next Lakers home game. So
that is true. That is true. In the meantime, you know, Alan, I'll be working on the Rose Bowl. So one day, hopefully, you and I can meet up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, BT, thank you, man. Appreciate the time. Thank you for doing this, and always appreciate your insight. All right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that's Brad Turner from the LA Times. We're coming to a wrap here, Laker fans. Okay, when we come back, I will continue to preview the Lakers versus the Bucks. Talk about this road trip, how important this road trip is to the Lakers. Is it critical or is it too early in the season to find out? We'll do that, and then just a reminder here, coming up at 9 o'clock, I'll do the social show, so another half hour or so on ESPN Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in. Stay right here. Lakers Talk, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, next seven games for the Los Angeles Lakers. Kind of give everybody a quick idea what the Lakers got coming up. Okay, so coming up this Thursday, Lakers and the Bucks. Saturday, Lakers in Chicago. Next Monday, Lakers versus Cleveland. And then next week, Philadelphia, Detroit, Boston, and Atlanta on February 1st. So those are the seven road games for the Lakers. By the way, just to give you a heads up, five home games after that. So they'll kind of get these in bunches here. You know, listen, this is the way I kind of look at the expectations for the Lakers on this upcoming road trip. Looking forward to it. I really am looking forward to seeing the Lakers get some better challenges in front of them. I'm not saying that the Lakers are, you know, every night that you play a game against other NBA professionals, you're going to get some challenges. You're going to have to figure things out on the fly. But think about what Brad Turner said. When I said, BT, what's the one thing that stands out to you that the Lakers got to improve on? He said boredom, that they don't get too bored during the season. That's real. I mean, I don't question that. I don't question that at all. When you know you're that good, right, when you know that this thing is only about winning an NBA championship. I look back at those Laker years with Kobe and Shaq. You think Kobe and Shaq, I mean, maybe Kobe just because he was a different breed, he took those regular season games and he obviously took practices. He took everything incredibly serious. This is what made him so iconic and so legendary is because every moment mattered to him. Where I think there's probably a lot of other players that, you know, would think in their head, okay, well, let's just not – we got to keep our tank, you know, as close to full as possible so that when we get through these 72 games, there's still no idea of what the second half of the schedule is going to look like. I'm sure there's going to be, you know, obviously a ton of games are going to have to be made good. Will the Lakers end up having to play 72 games? Will they play 72 games? When will the postseason start? All that other good stuff we're going to have to wait on. But I look back at, you know, just kind of the history of the NBA. When you're really, really good like the Lakers are, there is something about being prepared every single night and not getting too bored, not getting too not paying attention to your competition. And it bit them yesterday, and it hasn't bit them that much this season, but it definitely did yesterday. But the 7-game road trip, you can't not bring your A game on Thursday against the Milwaukee Bucks, because if you do, you're going to get blown out of the gym. You will. That's how good the Bucks are. Something similar to the Philadelphia 76ers, the Boston Celtics, who, by the way, I feel like they're all playing for second place in the Eastern Conference, because I do think Brooklyn is going to represent the Eastern Conference. We won't go into it. Stephen A. was hitting on that a little bit earlier today as well. But on this road trip, you know, this road trip specifically, are we going to learn a ton? Probably not. I think it will just be a good barometer of where the Lakers are at this stage of the season. Because if you go 5-2, nobody's going to be surprised or shocked. Listen, if they went 2-5, then we might be learning some negative things about this team, but I don't think that's going to happen. Nor do I think anybody thinks that's going to happen. Lakers are 7-0 on the road right now, and they're 4-4 at home. Explain that one to me. 4-4 at home, 7-0 on the road. 4-4? Yeah, I think 4-4. So with all that in mind, I would take away this from this road trip. I would take away that it's going to be great to see this team face some adversity. It's going to be great to see this team be in environments where the games mean something, that the talent and the competition on the opposite side of the floor is legit. The Bucks are a really good team. Boston's going to fight like hell. Philly's got an incredible amount of talent, and Joel Embiid, one of the best big men, if not the best big men in the NBA. So that's what I'd kind of take away from this 7-game road trip for the Lakers. Even with that loss yesterday, Lakers are 11-4, still the best record in the NBA. Okay, I got a couple things I want to plug here real quick. So if you miss any part of the show, ESPN app or on iTunes, go back. You could listen to all full 2 hours. Mark Spears joined the show. Brad Turner joined the show. Great conversations with them on the NBA front and on the Lakers front. When this show ends, we are going to go do on ESPN Los Angeles, so probably around 9:05, 9:10, on ESPN Los Angeles, we're going to do another half-hour show, social show, so it'll be all video. ESPN Los Angeles, you can go on my Twitter, at Alan Sliwa, Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa on YouTube. So it's going to be on all the platforms, so make sure to join us there. As for the next Lakers game, and my next show, it will be with Michael Thompson. Pre-game show starts at, it's a 4:30 tip against the Bucks, so that means pre-game show will start at 3 o'clock this upcoming Thursday. So hope you can join us. LA, as always, greatly appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Have a great rest of your night.